I'd like to greet you this morning in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning. Let me ask you to turn to Colossians and chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3. We will focus our thoughts in verse 3, but for the sake of context, let me begin reading from verse 1. Up to verse 5. I'm reading from the ESV, and the Bible says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Let us stand to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and our Father, we thank you for a wonderful opportunity like this one that you have given unto us, that Lord, as a company of saints and your children, we can gather together in this place to worship you. We recognize your presence in our midst and the leadership of the Spirit. It is our prayer that in all that we have been able to do so far, that you alone, Almighty God, will continue to be glorified. And now as we turn to the study of your word, we recognize that, Lord, we are simply men and women with feeble minds, and yet with an awesome responsibility before us to be able to understand the mind of you, O God, who is infinite. We want to yield ourselves unto you, even as we depend upon the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that he alone may illumine our minds and open our eyes, that, Lord, we may behold even those wonderful insights, wonderful principles of your truth that you'd like us to learn even from your word. May your grace abound, that mighty God, we will not only commit ourselves to listening to your word, but that each one of us walks out of this place, we will also be committed to put them into practice. That Lord, indeed, as we endeavor in this process of transformation until we are fully conformed to the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be glorified now, even through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I am speaking to you on the subject, Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure. Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure, and derived from the passage that we have just read together, and especially verse 3, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. This passage we are considering this morning, as you can notice, is found in the context where the Apostle Paul is stating the purpose of his apostolic ministry. Well, in verse 1 and 2, as we have seen, the Apostle Paul begins by stating, he says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery." And then he says, "which is Christ." And then concerning this Jesus Christ that he has mentioned, in the following verse, then he will give us a description of this Jesus Christ that he has mentioned. This Jesus who is the mystery, who is God's mystery. In verse 3, then he adds, "in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now, clearly, we see together that the description that the Apostle Paul gives us about Jesus Christ comes out as an emphasis. It seems to be an emphasis because when stating the purpose of his apostolic ministry, the Apostle Paul could have chosen to end with verse 2. He could have chosen to end with verse 2, but he chooses to add this description about the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's like the Apostle Paul is saying that, look, let me tell you a little more about this Christ. Let me tell you a little more about this Jesus who is the mystery of God. But why, we must ask, why that emphasis? Well, as many of us may be aware, the Apostle Paul is responding to false teachers who had found their way in the church at Colossae, and they claimed to have had a secret knowledge and wisdom that led to salvation through a special communion with the supposedly hierarchy of supernatural beings. And this secret wisdom and knowledge, these false teachers claimed that it was not possessed by the apostles. The apostles did not know about it because the Lord Jesus Christ did not reveal it to his apostles. He had kept it hidden. However, he revealed it to these false teachers. Paul's response, and especially in the verse that we are studying, the Apostle Paul responds, and he is emphasizing here that that special secret wisdom and knowledge that leads to the way, or that provides the way of salvation, is, however, found in Christ Jesus and in him alone. And anyone who has an intimate relationship with Christ, anyone who has a close relationship with this Jesus Christ, has access to that special hidden wisdom and knowledge. And so as we take time to study together this passage, there are three basic things that I would like to bring to your attention that Paul mentions concerning Jesus Christ. And especially that this is the Jesus Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Three things. Number one, we will look at Christ Jesus is the treasury. Christ Jesus is the treasury. Number two, Christ Jesus is the treasury of treasures. And then lastly, number three, Christ Jesus is the sufficient treasury of treasures. And so let's begin by the first thing that the Apostle Paul establishes to us as he writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is a treasury. And here is what he says concerning Jesus in the very first part of verse 3. Christ, he says, Christ in whom are hidden. Christ in whom are hidden. The word hidden here carries slightly a different meaning than the usual meaning. Paul uses it not to mean concealed. When he says, in whom are hidden, the Apostle Paul is not saying that in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is something that is concealed. In actual fact, the word translated as hidden could also mean stored up, kept safely or safely kept, or laid up in store. And so the point that the Apostle Paul makes here is that Christ Jesus is a depository, if you may like. Christ Jesus is the storehouse. The question, what things then are actually stored away or laid up in Christ Jesus? Well, in the next part of our text, Paul reveals that in Christ Jesus are laid up two treasures. That Jesus Christ is a storehouse of two treasures. That the Lord Jesus Christ is a depository of two treasures. Treasure number one, it is the treasure of wisdom. It is the treasure of wisdom. In the third part of verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, Christ, in whom are hidden, then listen, the treasures of wisdom. Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom. In other words, as we have established in our first point, the Apostle Paul is simply saying, look, in Jesus Christ are laid up all the treasures of wisdom. In Jesus Christ are stored all the treasures of wisdom. In Jesus Christ are deposited all the treasures of wisdom. But what does Paul mean by wisdom here? When he uses the word wisdom, what does the Apostle Paul mean here? The word translated as wisdom generally describes skill. It describes art. It describes expertise in some practical matter or task. It is the practical and prudent management of life as shown in forming the best plans and selecting the best means. In the context of our text, the Apostle Paul uses the word wisdom to refer to the God-given or divine skill that enables a person to navigate or to find their way through life and its challenges in order to ultimately find God. And once such a person has found God, that they may live an abundant, fulfilled, satisfying, and meaningful relationship with this God. That skill that will enable you through the maze of life, that you may be able to find your way through, overcome obstacles along the way, and be able to find God, and be able to find a life that is abundant, a life that has meaning, a life that is fulfilling because you are living it in communion with this God. That skill that you need to guide you through is what the Apostle Paul refers to as wisdom here. In the mind of Paul, therefore, this divine wisdom is revealed and manifested in Christ and his gospel. And it is for this reason then that the Apostle Paul, when he thinks of Jesus Christ, he thinks of Jesus Christ as a depository. He thinks of Jesus Christ as a treasury, and a treasury in whom are stored or laid up the treasures of wisdom. But well, as Paul demonstrates to us that Jesus Christ is the treasury of treasures, not only does he show us that in Jesus Christ are laid up all the treasures of wisdom, notice number two, it is the treasure of knowledge. It is the treasure of knowledge. Paul further says in the fourth part of our text, he says, Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of knowledge. Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of knowledge. According to Paul and other biblical writers, knowledge is a close companion of wisdom. That you cannot have wisdom without knowledge. For you to have wisdom, you need to have knowledge. And that's how come we see the close association that the Apostle Paul is making here between knowledge and wisdom. And in the context of our passage, Paul uses the word knowledge from the Greek gnosis to refer to doctrine, to refer to teaching, to refer to learning, to refer to understanding, and especially concerning God and a life that is lived in relation to God. That understanding, that learning, that doctrine, that set and body of truth that explains to us who God is, that explains to us about that life that is fulfilling, that life that is meaningful, that life that that is lived in communion with this God, Paul shows us that that knowledge, we can only find it in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. And it is Paul's point here that the treasure of this learning, the treasure of this understanding, the treasure of this doctrine or body of truth is actually stored up in Christ Jesus. But here's the third point that Paul makes concerning Christ in our text. Christ Jesus is the sufficient treasury of treasures. That Jesus Christ is the sufficient treasury of treasures. Yes, Jesus Christ is a depository. Jesus Christ is a treasury. And we have also established that He is a treasury of treasures because in Him are laid up all the treasures, not only of wisdom, but also the treasures of knowledge. But then Paul goes further to show us that that wisdom and knowledge that is laid up in Christ is actually sufficient. It is adequate. That once you have it, once you possess it, there is no additional wisdom. There is no additional knowledge that you need in order that then the process of salvation may be completed in your life. In the second part of verse 3, there is that word that the Apostle Paul actually uses, and a word that I would like us not to miss, and that's the word "all." Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, in Him, in whom, referring to Christ, are hidden. And then Paul says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The word translated as all means every. It means whole. It carries the idea of totality. The word carries the idea of fullness. The word carries the idea of adequacy. It is Paul's point here that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are laid up in Christ are adequate and sufficient to lead us to God and to help us to live a fulfilled life in God. Because remember, the Apostle Paul is writing and responding to these false teachers that have come in the church, and they are simply saying, look, we are the ones that possess a secret knowledge, a secret wisdom that will lead you to God in salvation. And this is a knowledge that the apostles are not aware of because Jesus Christ did not reveal it to them, but He revealed it to us. So come to us. Come to us, and we will introduce you to this hierarchy of angels, angelic beings, supernatural beings, that as you climb through that hierarchy in order to reach God, who is at the highest, that you need to have a secret knowledge or password that will allow you to be able to climb through until you reach God. The Apostle Paul says, no, that wisdom and knowledge that you and I need in order to find God, and once we find God, in order that we may live lives that are fulfilling, is only found in Christ and in Him alone, because God has chosen that His Son will be a depository of His wisdom and knowledge. And this wisdom that is actually adequate and sufficient to show us the way of salvation. But let me conclude by drawing some lessons. Clearly, our times today are not different from the times of the Colossians. The threat of false teaching that calls upon men and women to focus on other things other than Christ, to focus on other beings other than Christ for their salvation, is actually very much alive. But here are four lessons that we can draw from what we have studied concerning Christ Jesus and him being a treasury of treasures, a sufficient treasury of treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lesson number one, man, and used in a generic sense, man or mankind pursues wisdom and knowledge. Man and mankind pursues knowledge and wisdom. In all cultures, in all walks of life under the sun, there is a pursuit of wisdom and knowledge. Actually, Job testifies to this pursuit when he wonders as follows in Job 28, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 12. Job asks the question. He first of all says, there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. And then he wonders, he asks the question, but where can wisdom be found? But we must pause here and also ask the question, why does man pursue wisdom and knowledge? Well, and the answer is simple. It is because man desires to know the meaning of life. Man seeks to find answers to the four basic questions of life. Number one, there's the question of origin. Where am I coming from? Number two, there's the question of identity. Who am I? Number three, there's the question of purpose. Why am I here? Number four, there's the question of destiny. Where am I going? And you will actually discover that in all civilizations that we have in this world, in all cultures that we have in this world, there's a supposedly body of truth that seeks to answer this question. And that's where actually the discipline of philosophy comes from. Philosophy is simply a love or a pursuit of wisdom, a desire to find answers to the ultimate questions of life. Well, but lesson number two, we see man can only find what he pursues in Christ Jesus. That if man pursues wisdom and knowledge, if man desires to find answers to the ultimate questions of life, well, we must state here, as we have seen from the Apostle Paul and what he writes concerning Christ, that man can only find what he pursues in Christ Jesus and in him alone. The meaning of life and the answers to the four basic questions of life can only and be truly found in Christ Jesus. In light of the point that Paul makes in our context concerning Christ Jesus, and in the next verse, verse 4, Paul argues and he says, I tell you this. In other words, I explain to you about Christ and who he is and how that he is so rich as a treasury of treasures of knowledge and wisdom. The reason I tell you this, the Apostle Paul says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. That the reason he endeavors to explain to us, describe Jesus Christ this way, the Apostle Paul says, so that no one may deceive us by fine-sounding arguments. Today, in the so-called
prophets
and their items that they use to deceive men and women, their handkerchiefs, anointing oil, and anointing water that men pursue, men and women pursue, because they are told that in this they will find the deliverance that they need, that in this they will find the answers that they need, that in this they will find the success and prosperity that they need. Well, Paul has shown us, he has shown us that the answers that we need can only be found in Christ Jesus and in him alone. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he speaks to his disciples, this is what he says in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus Christ says, he declares about himself, he says, I am the way. That if you think about that way that leads to God the Father, I am the way. Not only is he the way, Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. I am the truth. That which we need to know about God, and that which we need to know about what is it that we need to do to draw us close to God, that we may live meaningful lives in God. Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. You know, I'm actually thinking about Pontius Pilate, how that he stands before Jesus Christ and he even asks the question, but what is truth? When that truth was actually standing before him. Truth is a person. Yes, it is true, according to what Jesus Christ says. But not only is he the truth, Jesus Christ says, I am the life. And then he adds, no one comes to the Father except through me. And the apostles, Peter and John, will also echo the words of the Lord Jesus Christ here when they stand before the Sanhedrin and commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ ever again. Peter simply answers, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So yes, men and women pursue wisdom and knowledge. But from what we have learned from the Apostle Paul, men and women can only find what they pursue, what they seek in Christ Jesus and in him alone. But lesson number three, by Christ Jesus being the treasury of treasure, by him being the depository of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, this is an invitation to us, an invitation to actually explore Christ. It's an invitation for us to explore the Lord Jesus Christ, to run after him, to seek after him as men would go in the enchanted in order to find hidden treasures. That drive is also what we need to have as we pursue, as we run after, and as we seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's seek him. Let's pursue him. Let's look for him as we would a hidden treasure. And that comes with two implications. Implication number one, that those that find Christ Jesus, they find true and sufficient skill to navigate through the challenges of life, find God, and find eternal fulfillment. But also implication number two, that those that live apart from Christ, those that live apart from Christ, they miss this grace. They miss the grace that comes with this and the benefits that come with it. In other words, that live apart from Christ, you live a life of a fool, because you have chosen not to live in the richness of the wisdom and knowledge of God and found in Christ Jesus and in him alone. That yes, you can attain the highest education that is offered here on earth and be called by various titles, but yet living a life apart from Christ, you are simply an educated fool. Because it is only those who find Christ that find the sufficient treasure of wisdom and knowledge. But the last lesson, number four, is that by Jesus Christ being the treasury of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, this is an invitation not only to explore Christ, but an invitation to also value Christ. It's an invitation to value Christ, that once we pursue him and once we find him, we have found this treasure and the greatest of treasures. We must then value him. Who finds a hidden treasure of gold and silver and remains poor? Who finds the great treasury of all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and still remains spiritually poor, still remains spiritually bankrupt, still remains lost? None. None. And the invitation that we extend to any one of you this morning who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, heed this invitation today and pursue Christ. Pursue Christ in order that you may be afforded that rare opportunity to be reconciled to God by grace through faith. And that once you have been afforded this opportunity, and as you stand in grace reconciled to God, that then you may appreciate the true meaning of life. A life that is lived in abundance, a life that is lived in fulfillment, because you have found the only one thing that can satisfy the emptiness that we all have, and that emptiness of the desire to live a life in communion with God. Therefore, come to Jesus today, and he will receive you. Amen. Let us pray together. Almighty God and our Father, we thank you for the time that we have spent to study your word together, and especially to study your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have revealed unto us, that in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that even as we have encouraged one another to pursue Christ, to explore him, to receive him into our lives, that Lord, indeed, we may find the true meaning to life. We pray in the name of Jesus that you may help us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that it may please you to draw even many unto your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord, we may live lives that are fulfilled, lives that are abundant, lives that have meaning, because we live them in communion with you. Be glorified now, Almighty God, and dismiss us in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.